Hi, and welcome to the Group X-Files. This is the podcast for demystifying the secrets of becoming a successful group exercise instructor. I'm your host, Sarah Keller, and I can't wait to share with you the two decades of experience I have and what that's taught me in terms of leading thriving and full group exercise classes. Welcome to episode 6, Know Your Shit. Yeah, I went there. This episode is all about being the best you can by knowing all there is to know and treating your job as a Group X instructor as just that, a job. It is a passion, it is a hobby, but at the end of the day, it is a job. And the way you view it will determine whether people show up week in and week out. All right, we are back for episode number 6, Know Your Shit. Yeah, I've got a mouth on me. You're lucky that's the first I've really let one fly. So when we are hired as group exercise instructors, most of us have a why that ties into our passion for movement, our passion for exercise, our passion, passion, passion. This is fun, fun, fun. It's a hobby, hobby, hobby. I get to move my body while getting paid to do it. But did you hear that keyword there? You get paid to do this. You are on someone's payroll. Their hard-earned revenue is going into your bank account in exchange for you providing this service. Just let that sit for a minute. Should we be passionate about this? Absolutely. We 100% should. Is it going to be as high up on our priority list as the full-time job that feeds our families and keeps a roof over our heads? No, it's not. You're right. But at the end of the day, it is a job. And while we only may teach a class or two a week, that is still money from the payroll of the facility you're working at going into your bank account. That is a business transaction, which means this is a job. And while it doesn't have to weigh heavy on you and have the onus of feeling like a job day in and day out, if we continue to think of it as our side gig, as our fun thing, as our hobby, as whatever else it is, our fun money, this is how I earn my spending money to go out with my friends. Oh my gosh. If we continue to think about it like that, we're going to not have the full respect of that role, and that's going to start to show every time we show up to the facility that we're going to teach at. That's not fair to the facility, and it's not fair to the people you show up in front of each time you show up in. So we are going to take a step back today and look at how we can treat this job with respect, but still have fun, still hold it as a passion, still, yes, it is for a lot of us a very part-time gig. That said, there are some of you who are new in this who would love for fitness to be more of a career. And if you're not treating it as a real job, you're never going to develop in the ways that you need to take that next step into making this your career. Look, I'm going to be honest with you, right? You're not going to. You have to take it seriously. So how do we take it seriously? What does that even mean, Sarah? How do I take being a teacher seriously? I thought part of it was like, we want to have a fun personality and engage with people. Absolutely. I'm not talking about being up there, being like Bueller, Bueller, Bueller. Some of my older folks will get that. Some of my younger folks may have no idea that I'm referring to Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ben Stein. Gotta love him. Go watch that movie if you haven't. But back on task here, consume everything you can on what you teach. I'm not asking you to skip your kid's soccer game or to avoid the girls' weekend or the guys' night out that you had planned because, no, sorry, I've got to learn more stuff about teaching group fitness. I'm not asking you to do that. And I'm not asking you to give up the unstructured time that you need in your day. But I guarantee you, if you happen to have like the app tracking on your phone turned on and you look at how much time you spend on certain things in technology, you'll realize there's more of your day free than you thought that there was. And if you're trying to be a professional and if you're trying to be good at what you do, some of that scrolling time, some of that unstructured time would be well served to you by doing something related to what you're trying to get better at. Now, some of that scrolling time may be following other fitness folks who you enjoy consuming their content and who you get ideas from. And that's great. If you're using it in that sense, absolutely keep scrolling. Definitely keep scrolling. That said, not all of us are. A lot of us, you know, we fall into that. I don't know that it's called doom scrolling. They like to call it doom scrolling. But it's mindless scrolling. And all of a sudden, it's an hour later. And, oh, we should have started dinner. Oh, my bad. Sorry, I really should have done something more productive with my time. And sometimes for our mental health, we just need to zone out for a little bit. And that's okay. But on a regular basis, if we are going to be fitness professionals and have people take us seriously, right? Because a lot of times, people are like, oh, that's cool. They work at a gym. That must be a fun job. But they don't take us seriously. Even personal trainers who walk around with a trainer shirt around the gym and, you know, maybe they have a clipboard in their hand. Sometimes people don't even take that. Oh, look, you got a fun job. You get to, you know, work out with people all day. A, the trainers don't work out with people all day. They lead people in a workout. They coach them through a workout. They may show them a rep or two to show them how to do a move. But that is not the trainer's workout. These quote unquote fun jobs, people don't realize how much work we have to put into them. And I understand that for the vast majority of us, that prep work is not on the clock, right? If we want to create a new class, if we want to write a new playlist, if we're learning a new Les Mills or Zumba track or release, or we're learning a new Soul Body release, like for most of us, that's on our time. And maybe we use it as our workout for that day to try to move and feel better, because we all need to move as well. Right? When we're in front of the class, that's not our workout. We are moving and we are working our bodies, but theory, that is the participant's workout. It is not our workout. That'll be a whole different discussion on another day. Don't worry, we'll get there. But in the meantime, what can we do to be the best every time we walk in that space? A lot of that comes from continuing education. If you hold like a NASM, an ACE, an AFA type certification, you're required to do that every 2 years anyways. You're required to further your education with approved sources and submit them to those certifying bodies. I know fewer and fewer clubs are requiring that of their instructors these days. A lot of times if you hold a Les Mills or a Zumba certification or Soul Body, they'll hire you to teach those specific programs. At the club that I am the Group X director for, we don't require that you have that national certification, that ACE, AFA, NASM, whatever. However, if you only hold a Zumba, or you only hold a Les Mills, or you only hold a Soul Body, or whatever other pre-choreographed format, you are only allowed to teach those programs. So if you want to teach a freestyle type program and you want to be able to create your own classes, we do require that you have either gone through an in-house training with us to become upskilled and qualified to teach that different type of format, or that you hold a generalist AFA, ACE, NASM certification. That says that you've gone through the basics of understanding how to put a workout together and understanding the basics of a balanced, safe workout and what to look for in terms of red flags in your participants as they're working through that workout. Right? But certainly we all know that that broad spectrum group exercise certification does not teach us how to teach every type of class specifically. So those CECs become ever more important. Number one, we want to know what's trending in our industry. Our industry is a huge industry of trends. Cardio's high for a while, then strength and mind body. Like right now, I can tell you that our mind body space at our clubs puts through more people than our Studio One space on a yearly basis. It's crazy how phenomenally popular barre is, for us at least, and any type of yoga or Pilates. Pilates is finally getting the respect it deserves after trying for years and years. Not reformer, we do mat at our clubs right now, but it has been years of trying to get people to understand how beneficial that program is, right? And that's what our industry is. It's trying to convince people that this is really beneficial for them. It's really important for them. But if we don't have that education to know why it's important or how it's going to benefit them, we can't have those discussions with them. Fair enough, right? We can't. So while I'm absolutely 100% firmly committed to continuing education, it's not just for the sake of making people go through the paces and spend extra time. It's because of the benefit to them and to their participants in their classes by doing this continuing education. And that continuing education has no limit. When I'm looking at continuing education for my instructors, so even my Les Mills instructors that aren't holding a national certification, or my Zumba or whoever, my yogis, even if they're not submitting however many hours of continuing education required per national organization, they're submitting them directly to us. So we are requiring them to do continuing education regardless of whether it is for the purpose of renewing a national certification. That is how deeply important we feel continuing education is in our industry. Every single instructor, every single one on my team, 100 plus instructors, every 2 years is accountable for CECs, equivalent to the number of hours that they would if they were submitting to an ACE, say. So right now that number just jumped up to 2.0 for ACE. So that's essentially 20 hours of continuing education over 2 years. When we break down the math, 20 hours over 2 years is 10 hours per year, which is less than 1 hour per month, which is essentially less than a quarter hour, 15 minutes every week. When you break down the math like that, it seems like a no-brainer. We all have 15 minutes a week. That's less than right around 2 minutes a day, right? 2 minutes a day to get you 15 minutes a week, to get you approximately an hour a month, to get you, heck, that'll get you 12 hours a year, and you'll be done those CECs in less than 2 years. Now, I know some of you are going to come at me and say, well, CECs cost money. I don't have money to go to a conference. I don't have money to pay for another certification. I teach two classes a week. The money I make there isn't going to cover the cost of another certification or another type of continuing education. And I hear you on that. And if your club is not requiring you to submit continuing education, it's very easy to fall into the, oh, it's okay, whatever. But there are ways you can get that continuing education. And heck, listening to this podcast, right? Every 2 weeks, we're going to have a new topic that's going to give you extra help in terms of developing your skill set and making you a better instructor. So if you're not accountable for CECs, I get it. Are there ACE and AFA CECs attached to this? No, there's not. So I'm sorry if you do have to submit to those, but I'd still encourage you to keep tuning in to this podcast. However, if you're just trying to learn more to be better, this is a great place to start. Free resource. There are plenty of free resources out there. Of course, I'm going to shamelessly self-promote my own, but there are other resources out there. There are social people who you can follow, right? Develop your social feed. Find the people that resonate with you. It could be someone who you like their workouts. It could be someone that you really like their personality and how they approach things, right? But find some socials that are quality and that give you good information. There are also just a lot of articles and resources online that you can find. If you are a Les Mills instructor, they have education in every release that they send you. Use those things to your advantage, right? Sometimes the resources are right in front of us and they're so right in front of us that we don't even notice. Use them. If you're not sure what resources are available to you, talk to your director. Say, look, I feel like I'm kind of at a plateau as an instructor. I feel like I'm pretty darn good at what I do, but I know I can always be better and I want to be better. I can tell you any instructor that comes to me and says, hey, what is the difference between a good instructor and a great instructor? Because I want to be that great instructor. I'm going to make time and sit down and talk to them. Because that is a hugely important question. I remember very distinctly one of my cycle instructors came up to me when she first started teaching for me. And she said, you know, I think I'm pretty good at this. But I don't want to be a good instructor. I want to be a great instructor. So what is the difference between a good instructor and a great instructor? And I said, do you have a few minutes? And we sat down and talked for probably an hour. There are so many small things between a good instructor and a great instructor, right? And you can be a good instructor with a solid following. But those people that sit in that top 10%, right? That really top tier instructor. There are a lot of intangibles to it, but one of those very tangible things is education. 100%. And yes, I used to be a college instructor, but I was not a college instructor in, you know, any sort of kinesiology. I was an English instructor. I taught composition. Doesn't necessarily directly apply to this. But do I think education is important? Absolutely. I think we should all be learning something new every day. And I understand that the phone we carry in our pocket has all the information we probably ever need to have. But it's really nice to have it in our brains too. And be able to have a conversation with someone. Be able to lead a class without staring at our phone for those answers. Yes? Absolutely. So, when we're doing this continuing education, it's showing a certain commitment to this job. J-O-B, it is a job. You sat down and interviewed with someone. You might have even auditioned with someone. And they said, okay, we like your skill sets. We like your personality. We like what you bring to the table here. So we're going to hire you, right? We are going to give you some of our money in exchange for you providing this service for us. That is the definition of a job. If I really wanted to, I'd open my phone right now and give you the actual dictionary definition of a job. But essentially, you performing a service and getting paid in exchange for performing said service is a job. And I get it. A lot of us don't like to think of this as our job because that takes the fun out of it. And it is super fun every time we show up in that studio and we're around the people and people are smiling and they're working and they're doing things that they didn't know their body could do. And that's phenomenal. And that keeps our passion alive for what we do. But at the end of the day, if we haven't prepared to walk into that studio, if we haven't done the legwork behind the scenes, it's not going to be as impactful to our members, our participants, and we're not going to be the best instructor that we could be. And some of you out there are going, well, that's okay with me. I'm a pretty good instructor. I like being a pretty good instructor. I don't have time for all that other stuff. I'll just settle for being this. I will tell you right now, settling is where mediocrity starts. And mediocrity is where failure starts. I don't have a fancy quote or some, you know, Socrates or someone who said that originally. But let's be honest. The moments we start to settle and say good enough is good enough, then things become stale. They become mediocre. And then mediocre starts to lower that bar. And yes, I have been fortunate to be in a club that has valued group exercise since the moment it was founded 40 years ago. When Lynn Brick founded Brick Bodies with Victor, she was adamant that group exercise was important. She understood the value, and that has been part of the culture of our brand in its entire existence. And I realize it's not the same at all clubs. So am I in a fortunate position to understand how valuable of an asset that department is? Absolutely. That said, that almost makes me even more committed to making sure I am treating it with the respect that I should, right? People are choosing to spend their free time coming to the gym to take your class. Think about that for a second. Just let that sit. They are taking their free time, that time that they could be scrolling or doing unstructured things or doing this or prepping their food for the next day. They are taking that time, some of that 24 hours that we all have, and they are choosing to come to your gym and take your class. Out of respect for them and their time, the least we can do is treat that like a job. Right? Like a responsibility. And I'm sorry if I'm bumming you a lot out that are just like, I really want this to be fun. I want it to be lighthearted. And it 100% is. But we're even better at it. And then when we're better at it, we see more people show up in our class. And what does that do? That stokes our ego a little bit. And that's okay. It can stoke our ego a little bit. We can't let it get to our heads. But we can feel good about the fact that, hey, I had 2 more people this week than last week. And oh, look, they came again the following week. They're now regulars. And oh, look, they brought a friend because they're having such a good time. But those things don't happen if we don't take it seriously and if we don't respect the position that we have, right? We are leading people in their workouts. When you think about that, that's kind of huge. They don't know what they want to do. That's on us. And sorry again if I made it a little heavy for you, but like, think of all of the fun, though, that opens up. If you're a freestyle instructor, you can pick some banging tunes. You'd be like, I saw this crazy thing. I did a little research on this move, and this is a super effective move. And we're going to do this move today. And you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to be like, oh my God, Sarah, I can't climb my steps. And you're going to thank me for that. But if we're not putting in the time to see what's trending, to look at some of the new science coming out in our field, to even technically scrolling through like Spotify or Apple and seeing what the hot artists are is useful. Heck, the VMAs were on the other night. I didn't watch the VMAs. I haven't watched an award show in years. But the VMAs were on. And I took my supplements way too late in the evening. I couldn't sleep. So I'm scrolling because that's what you do when you can't sleep. You scroll. And I start seeing the VMAs come up. And they clearly know how old I am as I'm scrolling through my feed because the first one up was Ricky Martin. Then it was Mariah Carey. And I was like, was this like a 90s themed VMAs? Like, what's going on here, guys? But then all of a sudden I was like, here's my playlist for Bar tomorrow. We're going to do a VMA performers playlist. Right? And that wouldn't have come to me if I fell asleep on time that night. But it was timely. It was fresh. People had a great idea because the tunes were awesome. There were tunes that they recognized from the past. There were a couple artists that they didn't know. Right? We played some Doja Cat. People were like, who's Doja Cat? I like this. It's got a nice vibe to it, but I don't know who Doja Cat is. Right? Tate McRae. Had a little Busta Rhymes. But those moments of inspiration can't come to us if we're not dedicating a little bit of time to focusing on our craft, right? So if you don't want to think about it as a job, think about it as a craft, right? Something you want to be really good at. A lot of our hobbies, we want to be really good at. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm a really competitive person and everything turns into, I want to be better than yesterday, right? I want to run faster or run further, or I want to bike faster, or I want to put out more power or whatever it is. Yes, I'm a competitive person. And that does feed into wanting to do the best I can, both as an instructor and as a group exercise director for my brand. So yes, part of it is absolutely internally motivated. And hopefully you have that internal motivation, right? But at the end of the day, it is a job that you've got to treat with the respect of a job. At some point, you may be assessed. And you want to know that you can crush that assessment no matter what day your supervisor walks in that studio. Right? We all have an off day. Let's face it, we do. And that's fine. But the best ways that we can be prepared is to know our shit. Spend the time. Do the research. The internet today makes accessing information so much easier than it was before. Could you absolutely go to another certification? Yes. Yes, you could. And that's going to be super beneficial for you. You're going to learn so much. We just talked about that in episode 5, how diversifying your portfolio is going to help make you a more well-rounded instructor. So absolutely, up your game and go to a new certification. If you have the time, you have the money, great. And there's so many available online today, you don't even have to make the time to travel somewhere. Huge wins. If that's not in the cards for you, maybe there's a conference near you, right? SCW does conferences everywhere. IDEA has their big conference once a year. HFA has their big conference. There's smaller ones like the Core Fitness Summit. I forget what they're calling it these days, but run by the people that do Schwinn and stuff, right? So there are a lot of local opportunities to get some live continuing education. Like if you are really into wanting to be a better instructor and you do better in a live format, see if there's a conference going on near you or other type of continuing education near you. Our club is fortunate to subscribe to Club Connect. So my instructors do have access on the company dime. They don't pay a dime for it. To free CEC content. It could be articles. It could be recordings of conference presentations. So they do have a vast array of material available to them. You might ask if your club has access to that. That could be a really good way that you don't have to leave your house and you can access some continuing education in your own time. However you do it, the more you know about the formats you're teaching, the more you know about group exercise, the more you know about the human body and how it functions, right? Because if you truly understand how the human body is functioning on a muscular level, on an anatomical level, on an energy production level, all of those things go into your coaching, right? That how and why section of coaching that we talked about a few episodes back. The more you understand about what that movement is doing in the body, doing for the body, and how the body needs to function to execute that movement, the more effective you're going to be, the more valuable resource you're going to be to your members. And that's why more people show up week in and week out, and they keep showing up. Part of it, yes, you have to have a great personality and be able to present those things in a way that reaches them without weighing them down and making them feel like they're being lectured to. But absolutely, the more you know, the more you can share. Really boils down to that. Treat your job as an instructor as just that. It is a job. Treat it with respect. Treat that money that your company is investing in you, right? They are investing in you. They don't have to spend money on you, but they are. So value that. Treat it with respect. Put in that time on your own. Find what it is you're passionate about. You don't have to know everything about exercise. You don't have to know everything about the human body. Find that thing that really lights you up and then dig into it. Fill your brain with it. Fill your mind. Fill your soul with it. And then teach from that place. And I guarantee you're going to see a difference. If you enjoyed today's episode, heck, even if you didn't, go ahead and hit that subscribe button because we have plenty more group exercise instructor development content coming your way and you want to get it while it's hot and fresh. See you next time on the Group X Files.